Howdy friends, and welcome to the Added Souls podcast. Stefan Maya here with you. Hope you're having a wonderful day. So we want to look into the Bible. That's the whole thing going on here, and we find ourselves in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, and we've been reading in Ephesians the wonderful, powerful gospel of Jesus Christ, which sets men free from the bondage of sin and all sorts of lies. And we see in this text how the love of Jesus Christ came to the Gentiles, to those who are afar off, right? To the foreigner. That be us, you and I, my friends, and we can thank the great I Am for the peace we can find in Jesus Christ through the Father because of his mercy towards those who are afar off. Those who were afar off, the Gentiles, the Greeks, pagans, the heathens, you and I, my friend. But here through the inspired text, the Bible, time-tested and proven, God-breathed literature, it says in chapter 3, in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And so, the grace of our Lord and Master, the extended favor sent our way to call us out of a dying world, call us out of a sinful practice and behavior. It took something, a responsibility on our part, nothing, of course, that we can work out, meritoriously earn, or boast about. Paul would tell the Christians in Ephesus, friends, you cannot go back to the Mosaic law or the ordinances or traditions of Judaism in order to claim a boastful, meritorious right to your salvation. It doesn't work that way. Nothing you do can earn your salvation. We all reach the age of accountability as individuals, independent and accountable to the great I Am, and we choose to sin. When we make the decision to take the sinful path, we alienate ourselves from the great I Am and his love, and so we sever our spiritual, eternal beings from the heavenly places and our Lord and Master. And so, only once we begin to seek him again in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, that we find his law, his will, his love, his mercy, his words. For us today, the 66 books of the Holy Bible. And when we seek these, we see information within, instruction and wisdom that guide us through the path, the narrow gate. And we are wise to fear the great I Am, and to know the nature and love of his Son, whom died for us on that cruel Roman cross by the hands of his own people, the Jews, the sons of Israel. We are wise to seek the information of the holy text that explained to us with all long-suffering and patience, that we are people which must repent, for without repentance we cannot become friendly with God again. And repentance, friends, is a change of our thoughts, our mind, the inner mind of man, to go away from sinful practices, behavior and language, tradition, false beliefs, false religious beliefs and error, erroneous teachings from all sorts of deviant churches that do not belong to God, but but belong to the demon nations. Friends, we must, on our part, show God we love him, for that is faith. Faith, scripturally described, is a word of action. It is a trust in Christ which produces an outward action towards the Christ, so we can show our Father we love him through his Son. And to do that is repentance. And repentance takes sacrifice. It takes denial. Denial of self. Denial of all things this flesh we live in once sought to participate in. We must get away from that. It's been given now, this gospel. First to the Jew, then to the Greek, Paul would say to the Romans in Romans 1:16. It is a faith once and for all delivered in which we must contend for, Jude 3 would tell us. And all the apostles, through the teaching of their Lord and Master, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, fulfilled all the prophets. The information would be given on how one is to be born again, how one is to become a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, the church that belongs to Jesus Christ, how we no longer need to have the fear of the world and to participate in its riot and disobedience, how we no longer need to be shackled and snared to the damage that fornication, adultery, homosexuality, abortion, lying, murder, gossip, and all sorts of sorcerous ways and mythical, charming paths this dying world tempts us with. The scriptures and the powerful blood of Jesus Christ and his resurrection can heal us from the damage of divorce, from the damage and fear of loss from those we love, from persecution, from decaying health conditions. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. It is by faith Christ dwells in our hearts, our trust in him, our obedience in his words. His words are spirit. The Bible is the penmanship of the Holy Spirit. And so to read the words of the Holy Spirit and to do them, to make them active in our lives, friends, God lives within us. Faith is necessary, Hebrews 11:6. Faith comes by reading the words and accepting the words, receiving the words, Romans 10:17. We Gentiles no longer now need to live in a myth. We no longer need to be heathens and pagans, practice all sorts of sinful things. We can be rooted and grounded in love, in agape, in sacrifice, letting go everything that brings us down in order to move forward into what uplifts us, what brings us closer to the Christ. That we can understand these things with all the saints now. There's no longer Jew or Greek. We are one in Christ, a holy nation, priests. Peter would say such things to the Christians there. That we be able to comprehend and understand as the saints. Four corners and great spiritual wealth of Jesus Christ. The grace of God, his mercy, his love. And that this, of course, surpasses the miraculous. It goes far and above the miraculous. The supernatural. It goes to the depth and comfort of his words that we read, that bring us hope. In these words that we read in the scriptures, we can know the love of Christ. We can know his fullness through his Son. and we can know him to the glory in the church. In the church by Christ Jesus. We can do so throughout all ages. We can live faithfully. We can have that hope. Isn't that powerful? And that's something. Something very powerful. To be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. To be a productive member of his body. Body of believers. Where the saved are gathered. Where those who have been washed of their sins are added. This language is Bible language. For his kingdom was birthed from the mind of the great I Am from the very beginning. And it was prophesied by the prophets of old. It was promised by the Christ and purchased by his blood. And friends, it must be practiced by our faith. It is through our faith, trust in Jesus, in which he dwells within us. In his kingdom, his church, to which he is the head, no man is head. But Christ is the head of his church. This church he promised, he purchased. It was built in Jerusalem during the reign of the Roman Empire. On the day of Pentecost, with great outpouring power from the Holy Spirit upon the chosen vessels, the apostles, who stood up among the people and preached to them, proclaimed to them the death, burial, resurrection, witness, and ascension of Jesus Christ. And those who had a heart to listen were pierced. They believed. They recognized that blood was on their hands and a curse on their children for having brought the Son of God to a cruel Roman cross. And so as they were pierced, they approached the apostles and said, "Men, brethren, what shall we do?" They wanted to become friendly with God again. They wanted to have his mercy, his grace, his compassion, his forgiveness towards them for such a grievous, sinful act. And the cure was given, the prescription, the qualifying attributes and acts of obedience to take place were given to them. The keys were proclaimed. They needed to repent. They needed to repent as they were calling on the name of the great I Am Son, Jesus Christ, calling on the name of the Lord. In repentance, they were to individually, accountably, be immersed, buried, plunged, dipped, baptizo, clothed into water. For within this act of faith and love towards Jesus, to which no man can boast or meritoriously earn, this act of trust in Jesus, one is born again out of water and the Spirit, and all those that day who received the words of the Holy Spirit were baptized into Christ, baptized into his body, baptized into his church as citizens of his kingdom. A unique, one-of-a-kind church, the only one Jesus purchased with his own blood. All of this recorded in Acts chapter 1 and 2 and following. All of this prophesied. All of this can be learned if studied properly, rightly handling the texts of the 66 books of the Holy Bible. You see, my friend, we've been lied to for a long time by many liars who masquerade themselves as people we should trust in the religious world. We see them on all sorts of venues, TV and social media, even churches we may trust whom our parents have been members for a long time. We give them names such as pastors and priests and reverends and teachers and preachers. But whom do we place our trust in, my friend? To whom do we trust? Whom do we turn to? May we learn to let go the liars who have been teaching us otherwise, May we learn to go to the sole source of religious authority, the ruler, the mark, the law, the Holy Bible. The Holy Bible, who teaches us these covenants, two covenants. Interesting, isn't it? The Christ purchased, his will, his new covenant, Matthew 26:28 would tell us. Matthew 26:28 would speak the words which say, "For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." And so if we are led by the Spirit, as Romans 8 would tell us, the Spirit being the words of the Holy Spirit in the new covenant, the new testament to which Christ purchased with his blood, then we are subject to this new law, the new testament, and we learn of the Christ, and we learn of the nature of Jesus to come, and we learn of God and his principles and the operation of the Old Testament. And so together, the old and the new make the Holy Bible, in which we must respect. It is the sole source of religious authority. And so that is how we can test the spirits. When individuals come to us and say this, that, and the other, and we size it up with the Bible, friends, we can tell if it's a lie. If what they practice, what they say, their behavior, their language, we can tell if it's a lie. We can certainly identify them by the fruits they produce. The Bible will produce a Christian and nothing more. A Christian. You see, Christian is the family name. It is given to all who obey the gospel. Christian is the only name we need. When you are born again into the family of God, you are given his family name, Christian. Many deceivingly or misguidedly have hijacked the title and call themselves Christians, but they've never been made a Christian by God. There's only one way you can be made a Christian by God, and the scriptures reveal that. And so, born again into his church, his kingdom, you are now a Christian. You are given the family name. You see, we've been lied to by so many religious snakes out there that hearing these things may trigger us into putting up a wall and saying, well, that can't be true. But it is. It is the studied truth, honest and authentic, genuine truth. Friends, we've been lied to for so long regarding religious things that our thoughts are so far from God. We need to repent. We need to return. Questions can be answered. We need to seek. We need to ask. Matthew 6:33 would tell us, "Seek ye first the kingdom." There is no salvation outside the church that Jesus built. And we've been meant to think that the church Jesus built has been divided, and it has taken on various titles and names. Friends, that is a lie. Paul would tell the Corinthians, is Christ divided? Of course not. Of course not. Christ prayed to the Father that we be one, that we be united. And how can we be united in our division? There is no such a thing. We must be united in Christ, the location where the saved are gathered, where all spiritual blessings are given. It has been predestined. God has created beforehand the location of salvation in his Son, so all that would obey would become part of the predestined. It's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful hope in this dying, decaying world. It's the best hope we have in Jesus Christ. And so we must seek to know him. And we must seek to know how to study the scriptures properly so as have the author's interpretation be revealed. You see, because once we start saying, well, that's your interpretation, well, that's just my interpretation, well, that's just his interpretation, and that's okay, we've all got different interpretations, but we're all headed the same way to heaven. That is a devil's lie, straight from the pits of hell. And we dumb down God. We tell God, God, you weren't able to communicate your message to us properly, so therefore all of us here must just come up with our own demise. And we create God in our own image by doing so. We sin. We become lawless. And sadly, most religious people take that path. And on that day when they meet the Maker, they will say, Lord, Lord, did we not do this, that, and the other in your name? And Jesus will say, I never knew you. Be gone from me, you who practice lawlessness. He's speaking to religious individuals. He's speaking to Christians. And so not only is there one unique way within the church, the location of the saved, where we are assembled as his church, but within his assembly, we must be productive and remain faithful till the end, or find ourselves drifting away, missing the mark, falling short. This is the language of the scriptures rightly handled when we allow the author's interpretation to be revealed. What other reason is there? Friends, Paul had much information to share with his fellow Christians in Ephesus. But there was a very poignant moment, a very significant, powerful moment in which these individuals, now saints in the church, were once outside the body of Christ, living in all sorts of sinful practice, believing all sorts of nonsense. There was a very moment where an individual went from being in darkness to being in light. And if we go out there to all these different liars and all these different churches, they'll tell us all sorts of different ways that happened. But we should rather trust the Holy Scriptures to tell us. And friends, we must be ready to count the costs of our discipleship in Christ. We must be ready to count the cost that doing what the Bible tells us to do and trusting in Jesus through the holy penmanship means we might lose friends and family. We might lose employment. We might lose our own spouse, children. We might lose everything. But as Paul would say, I count it all rubbish. Everything I've lost, though it hurts and it pierces and it's a challenge, and I count it all rubbish. Because at the end of the day, we've gained Jesus Christ, and that is eternal life. Eternal life has no expiration date. Friends, what we live now in these physical vessels walking this earth has an expiration date. It's going to end. It's going to end. It's inevitable. Over here, we lose. We feel the loss when loved ones depart from this earth. But the hope in eternal life, if found in Christ, is we can see each other again forevermore, time never to be separated ever, ever, ever again. Isn't that wonderful? But at what very moment does that take place for an individual? Again, the liars of the world and their demon nations, their pulpits and their TV spots and their radio spots and their magazines and their podcasts and their social medias, they will tell us all sorts of lies. They will cherry-pick verses here and there. They're not honest. They're not honest people. They're snakes. And they prey on the naive. Those of us who are uneducated with the Word of God, they'll prey on us. They'll tell us all these things that are not true. Give us a false hope in a heaven we will never see. Let's not pay attention to them. Let's separate ourselves from all of that. And let's just follow the Bible. The Bible can be traced. You can seek out the evidence of how we received it in our hands, these 66 books, and how only these 66 books are inspired. Do you not believe that these things can be traced historically, archaeology, involved with the science, and everything, anything you seek can be found if you have an honest heart? Of course we can trust the Holy Bible. The evidence continues to prove it. And so we must trust at what very moment an individual went from darkness to light, and how we today can do the same thing. Well, you see, these Christians in Ephesus, part of the church Jesus built. Here's an interesting point to make as well. The Christians in Corinth, Colossae, and Philippi, and Ephesus, and Rome, and Jerusalem, all these places we read in the Bible, they were not different churches. They were not churches who taught differently, who had their own different interpretations to this, that, and the other. That's important for us to understand. Because liars out there will try to make us think that all this worldly, all this division here, all these different churches with different names, all this division we see all over the place, teaching all sorts of different things, that don't come from God, my friends. You won't read that in the Bible nowheres. That's why these areas, they don't want you to read the Bible. Or if they have you reading the Bible, they want you to read it wrongly divided, so that you won't understand the message. Friends, all these churches here in Ephesus, Colossae, Philippi, Galatia, Thessalonica, Jerusalem, Rome, all of them, they were all the same church. That's why Paul identified them as the churches of Christ in Romans 16:16, and how there is to be no division among them. It's not a title on the wall. It's not the sign on the building. Is the identity to the church and to who it belongs to. All these different congregations, these body of believers, these churches, they belong to Jesus Christ. Why? Because they are all in a one common salvation, Jude 3 again. They all believe the same thing and obey the same gospel. They worship in the same way. Friends, there's no division in the scripture. And so how does one from darkness go to light? Well, now in this new age, the age of the Christ, the messianic age, friends, even if we take the example of the Ephesians, you go to Acts chapter 19. As believers, they had to be immersed into Christ. Why do you think Jesus said, whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved, but whoever does not believe shall be damned? Why? Because an unbeliever will never have faith in Jesus Christ. You'll never have faith in Christ to obey the good news of Jesus Christ and be immersed, plunged, dipped, born again, out of water in the Spirit. Why do we see the example of the eunuch with Philip? Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? Why does it matter if it is not a necessary component to the moment in which one is transitioned from darkness to light? You see, but it is a very necessary moment. A repentant believer confessing Christ as his Lord and Master qualifies to have his sins washed away, calling on the name of the Lord. Nothing to boast about, no meritorious salvation taking place here, only submitting oneself, trust and love in Jesus Christ, going into the water. Philip baptized him, and they both came up out of the water. Now the Holy Spirit, in a supernatural way, snatched Philip away for another mission, but the eunuch, he went on his way rejoicing after he had been immersed. Because that is the very moment God, the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection, Peter would say in 1 Peter 3:21, it is at that very moment you are clothed with Christ, Galatians 3:26, 27. Spiritually operated on, Colossians 2:12, buried, Romans 6:3 and 4, born again, John 3:3, John 3:5. Jesus plainly says in Mark 16:16, whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved, but whoever does not believe shall be damned. For the unbeliever will never trust that Jesus will wash away his sins, Acts 22:16, in the watery grave of baptism. You see, because it's not the water that saves us, nor the individual who helps you go into the water. It is Jesus Christ and you calling on his name as a repentant believer. That has always been the case, and the text will never change. Many snakes and liars, deceivers, accusers and tempters, slanderers, will tell us otherwise. And sadly, those who are not honest with the text, those who have been, who are willfully uneducated and naive, will follow the wrong path. It's all a matter of the heart. There are many uneducated individuals, such as myself, who just had the pureness of heart to say, I just want to know what God wants for me in this life, What is my purpose here on this earth? And I am ready to let go everything and anything, if it even means my mother or father, my wife, my children, my family, my coworkers, my neighbors, my friend, everyone. It don't matter. I was ready to let it all go, and I have. Because it is, again, counted as all rubbish, so that we can be with Jesus and know the truth. Truth, my friends, thy word is truth. John 17:17. It sets us free. John 8:32. It's how God knows we are his disciples. John 8:31. What? The scriptures, the written word. Thy word is truth. It sets us free from myth and fiction and the bondage of this life and all its nasty, deviant, wicked, evil ways. It's riot, it's fornication, it's adultery, it's homosexuality, it's abortion, it's lying, it's gossip, it's violence. All of it. It's divorce. All of it. It sets us free from the bondage of those things and the pain it has caused in our lives for decades. It is at that very moment when you walk into the waters of baptism and you come out of those waters added to the church. Which church? The church Jesus built. Friends, I am a minister for the Riverview Church that belongs to Jesus Christ in Riverview, New Brunswick, Canada. Stefan Maia is my name. AddedSouls.com is the website. If you'd like to reach out, and if you're an honest individual just seeking to know the truth, reach out to us, addedsouls@gmail.com, or find contact through, again, addedsouls.com. We can sit down and have a personal Bible study. We can go through the scriptures together in an honest way, and I'll teach you what has been taught to me. But we both must be submissive and authentic and genuine, civil and mature and loving. Treating our fellow neighbors as we would want to be treated ourselves, right? Of course. Friends, you have to ask the question. You have to pursue those thoughts, that conscience you have. You see, the liars have been telling us that we'll go to heaven one day when we die. But you see, you need to look in the mirror and ask yourself the question, is that true? Am I truly a person who's a Christian? Am I even a Christian? I've been told I am all my life. I've been going to a certain church with my family all my life. And I've been meant to think that I've been trusting in God and trusting in Jesus. And I've been meant to think that I was saved by grace through faith. But is that true? Or is there a deceptive tongue that tickled your ear? Are you okay with God? You see, if we don't pursue these questions, we'll never attain to the truth. We'll never seek out his kingdom. Where I minister, a small congregation, the Riverview Church of Christ. You see, that's what it's called because it belongs to Jesus. He's the head of his church. It belongs to him. The devil's influence, of course, has caused much confusion in the world. You see, because there are many other churches that have a sign on the wall that says Churches of Christ or Church of Christ. And so one cannot solely rely on a title on a building, though it is insight to the right direction when a church calls its name by the Creator's Son. If the church belongs to Jesus, it's only natural we should call it the Church of Christ. But there are many cults and liars and snakes out there who have hijacked the title, the Church of Christ. Now, it's not the church that belongs to Jesus, yet they masquerade that way by putting that title out there. Now, if it has any other name, you can automatically know it does not belong to Jesus. So you can kind of shorten up the narrow here. We can cut out, you can draw closer to the truth by knowing that any other church with any other name but Jesus Christ is certainly not a church that belongs to Jesus Christ. So once you've shortened that to now looking at churches that call themselves the Church of Christ, now from there, you have to start seeing which one truly belongs to Jesus Christ. One says, that's a lot of work. Yeah, welcome to Christianity, my friend. It's an educated religion. The liars out there will make you think it's just some kind of an emotional feeling that you get, and boom, there you go. You had a religious experience. Oh, you're saved now and you're a Christian. Find a church you like going to. That is a bunch of lies. Garbage. Garbage. Sending folks to hell. No, you have to seek the church Jesus built, the one he talks about in the Bible. See, that's why you always have to go back to the Bible. The church you'll find in the Bible is the church that belongs to Jesus Christ. And they all have a common salvation. They were all born again out of water. Friends, that's the very moment you go from darkness to light. When you are born again. That don't come with some kind of a miraculous thing or experience. Contrary to all the liars out there. It doesn't. Those are all lies. The gospel is a very practical, loving command. It's something you can see and defend in court. It's very matter of fact. Yet it's filled with the peace and love and compassion, love and joy, strength and purpose, all these things, grace and mercy. Liars out there have told us all sorts of stuff. Don't believe them. Don't believe them. All right, my friends, this will conclude today's Added Souls podcast. I hope you find some spiritual wealth in there. I hope you've been challenged to think. And if you've been pierced to seek it further, by all means, reach out to us. If you've been pierced to hate and persecute and slander, and say all manners of wickedness towards this information, friends, you're not hurting me. You're attacking Jesus, and your day of judgment will come. I'm just a broken individual like anybody else. I'm nothing special other than the fact that I've been made a Christian by God, added to his church. That separates me from those who are lost, and it allows me to recognize those who are lost so I could try to love them and share with them the message of truth that will bring them into fellowship with all of us, the people of God. Doesn't make us perfect, far from it. We stumble, we fall, we miss the mark at times. But we no longer live in sin. We may fall into it sometimes, but we no longer live in sin. We're a family. We're a family, and you can be part of this family, but God has to do it. I can't, nobody here is going to vote on if you should be part of this family or not. That's not how the Bible works. God has to put you into his church, and he does so when you obey him. All right, my friends, that'll do for this time around. As the sign behind me says, stay focused and stay positive. Stefan Maia is my name, addedsouls.com, the website. We'll see each other next time, Lord willing, and God bless.